Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Praise Yah for another blessed day. Hallelujah. We've done some recent teachings on Paul and Yeshua. Some people believe that Paul was teaching a different message than Yeshua taught. And hopefully after the previous messages, you will come to see that in no way is that true according to Scripture. And then we looked at the character of Paul, which went right along with the message of Yeshua. And today I want to talk about something or some of the reasons why some people would think that Paul had a message that was different than the message of Yeshua. And me, as a messianic Jewish believer who decides to follow Yeshua, as a messianic Jewish believer, but not let go of my Hebraic roots and do my best to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the Torah, I want to look at this topic more closely because it could be quite confusing. We have to understand, Yeshua came with his message to the Jewish people. And Paul took that message to many of the non-Jewish people. And it wasn't a different message. It was the same message. But there's quite misunderstandings because Paul's message was hard to understand for the Jewish people that were already believing and living this way, following Yeshua, because not that it was a different message, but it was a different time and had to be presented to a different way because it was presented to a different people. That's what people need to understand. He didn't change the heart of the message. And we have to put ourselves in the situation he was in or look at where he was in when he was writing these letters. And thinking about these things, you know. So, from a Jewish standpoint, who believes in Yeshua our Messiah, there's two types of Jewish people that are called believers, or at least popular. Because I'm sure somebody has their own ideas of something else. But the two top popular ones is one of them is they call it a Jew for Jesus, and the other one is what they call Messianic Jewish person. So the difference there is the Jew for Jesus proclaims Yahshua as the Messiah, but now says you can live a Christian life. You no longer need to follow the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and the Torah. No, the thing is, we no longer need to follow that for salvation, but we still should follow it because it's Scripture, it's Torah. But this is what the organization of the Jews for Jesus and believers, the Jews for Jesus believers. It's wonderful that a Jewish person would now believe in Yeshua, but they've let go of their Hebraic roots. Then you got the Messianic person who, like myself, I've now accepted Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, as my Messiah, but I haven't let go of Hebraic roots. As a matter of fact, my particular life, I didn't know Hebraic roots, but I've learned it later on, but I haven't let go of it. I still desire to identify and keep the Torah. So one didn't replace the other. Now, it doesn't have to make a difference when you look at the non-Jewish people. You have two types of non-Jewish Christians or non-Jewish believers. You have the ones that decide not to keep the Torah, the instructions of our Creator, and then you have the ones that decide to do keep it. And in no way am I claiming you need to keep the guidelines and instructions, the commandments for salvation. Because if that was the case, we wouldn't need Yeshua. Salvation comes only through the Messiah. However, the blessings and curses and the life we live, and out of love, we should be desiring to do the will of our Father. That's my belief. That's what I believe Scripture is telling us. And we look at the message of Paul and the message of Yeshua. This is an important question because we got the Torah. and we got the gospel of Yeshua. So, did Paul release us from the, or people from the importance of keeping the guidelines and instructions? Remember, who he was talking to was a different people than Yeshua was talking to. And he was in a particular situation because the people that Yeshua went to were wonderful at keeping the Torah. Paul himself was a Torah keeper. And he never stopped keeping Torah. Yeshua came to convince the Torah keepers that he was the Messiah that they were waiting for. Paul went to the non-Jewish people who they weren't keeping Torah, and many of them didn't know of Torah. See, the first century believers, which were mostly Jewish, they were keeping Torah. A lot of these questions weren't even issues. The question was, is Yeshua Messiah or not? Not if they should keep Torah or not, or stop keeping Torah. But who Paul went to, the non-believers, the non-Jewish non-believers who now believed. They come to believe in Yeshua, but now how are they to respond? How are they to act? And Paul spent a good amount of his time in his letters explaining what it meant to keep Torah. But at the same time, he understood they had to learn it. It was something that was new to them. Now, part of Torah is eating and food, and then you had the feast days. There's not much difference in the moral guidelines and instructions that every believer should follow if we decide to proclaim Yeshua as Messiah. And there's not many Torah commandments, or not all the Torah commandments, that we can keep today. And we're not even having to keep all the Torah commandments today, because we're supposed to keep the ones that are applicable to us and the ones that we can still do. And sadly, the Christian church has abandoned this idea, thinking we don't have to keep the instructions because now we have Yeshua. In essence, I'm not saying they do this knowingly, but if you break it down, they're teaching Christians, you know, because of Yeshua, you could live in sin. They're using Yeshua's death as an excuse to live in sin, because sin is transgression of the Torah. So the Torah commandments that we can keep today and should keep today, you know, regardless, you know, that we accept Yeshua, we should still keep them. And I believe Paul was not telling the non-Jewish believers, you no longer need to keep the Torah. I think he was telling them they did. But the most important part of his ministry was explaining to them about who Yeshua was and accepting Yeshua. That was number one for Paul. And he had this tough situation of explaining to them what it meant to be a follower, to how to live. I mean, Yeshua taught it perfectly. You know, follow me. You know, if you love me, you'll keep or stop. You won't stop doing the commandment you're already doing. But with Paul, it was a different situation. And the church today, I believe the church should be teaching people about the Torah and saying, well, if you really believe him, let me tell you about the feast days. Let me tell you about the Sabbath. And let me tell you about the food laws and guidelines. And I don't believe that the church today and Paul's message go hand in hand, because I do believe Paul was teaching people, or trying to teach people, not only who Messiah was, but what we were to do. And people often get confused with this. So, did Paul teach Christians to eat unclean food and break the Sabbath? We're going to break this down today and look at this today, because it's one of the biggest accusations against Paul that he, even though he lived Torah himself, he taught everyone they didn't have to do it. You know, and two major examples is the Sabbath and the unclean foods, or the feast days. Paul's supposedly said we can eat unclean animals, and Paul supposedly said that the Sabbath and feast days don't matter. So what I want to look at, and the question is, did Paul actually teach these things? Or has Paul's writings been misunderstood? So if Paul really taught people to disobey what Yeshua taught, we would have a serious problem. In Matthew 5:17, Yeshua says, "Don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill." And Matthew 5:19 says, Yeshua warns against breaking the commandments and teaching others to do so. So, of course, this isn't important. We need to investigate this because it is a serious problem if Paul was teaching against the message of Yeshua. Now, Paul warned, or Peter in the scriptures warned us against misunderstanding Paul. Great insight in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 to 16. Peter first called him our beloved brother. Now, if Paul was teaching against what Yeshua taught, I don't think Peter would have called him a beloved brother. But he also says concerning Paul's writings, some things that are hard to understand. And people twist them. So, Peter never said Paul was wrong. He said he was misunderstood. So whenever an interpretation of Paul appears in to contradict Torah, we need to slow down and ask, am I understanding Paul correctly? Now, I hope the beginning of this audio or video, wherever you're seeing this, helped you come to understand who Paul was speaking to and the message Paul was giving. But as we look at this, we have to understand what Torah is and what the principles are and the foundation of Scripture. The Bible didn't begin with Romans or Galatians or Colossians and Paul's letters before Paul even wrote a letter. Yahweh had already defined in the Torah sin, righteousness, the Sabbath and appointed times, what idolatry was and clean and unclean foods. Clear scripture should help us understand difficult scriptures. So don't take one difficult statement from Paul and use it to erase everything that came before him. It's important to get this. Paul didn't make unclean animals clean. Leviticus says Yahweh gives distinction between animals. Some are clean and some are unclean. So, where does Paul clearly say pigs and selfish and other animals Yahweh called clean are now clean? Don't show me when somebody says, well, Paul meant this. Show me what Paul actually says. Yahweh's clean and unclean distinction have been abolished. He didn't. He never said that. And this is what we see people trying to claim. Now, the average Christian, the average non-Jewish Christian, this is a topic they don't even think about because the church, it's not Paul, but it's the church that is changing the message of Yeshua. Paul didn't change the message of Yeshua, the church changed the message of Yeshua. Now, I appreciate the focusing on Yeshua, but it's the church that's saying the law has been abolished. Paul never said the law has been abolished. He even kept it. So 1 Corinthians 10:25 to 26 is the scripture in question. Eat whatever is sold in a marketplace. That's what the scripture says. Whatever is sold in a butcher shop, eat. Ask no questions for the sake of consciousness. So people read whatever. And they conclude, Paul's saying eat anything. But what's the context here? And this, like Peter said, Paul's can be a little complicated to understand sometimes. But when you understand, like I said, who Paul was speaking to and the message where it was going out. The context was food associated with idols. This isn't primarily a discussion about pigs and selfish. Paul was discussing pagan sacrifices, idolatry, food sold afterwards, and consciousness. Paul was condemning idolatry clearly in 1 Corinthians 10, 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. That's pretty much straightforward. And in 1 Corinthians 10, 20 to 21, Paul says, pagan sacrifices are offered to demons. Then you can both partake of the Lord's table and of the then you can't both partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. So the question is, does that sound like Paul is saying idolatry doesn't matter anymore? Absolutely not. Paul says flee from idolatry. Then what is Paul saying about the marketplace? Now, here's what I said. We have to think about where he was, who he was speaking to, and what was taking place. Picture where this was in a place called Corinth. A big pagan city with a bunch of people who were non-believers of Yahshua. And Paul, the Torah-keeping believer who was sent there and went against everything he knew in terms of his life to go to this place, into that marketplace and purchase meat. You may not know its history, what it previously associated with a pagan sacrifice. And Paul says you don't have to interrogate the seller about the history of every piece of meat. What he said in 1 Corinthians 10, 27 to 28 is, if a believer invites you to eat, eat without interrogating him. But if someone specifically tells you this was offered to idols, Paul says, don't eat it. Why? Consciousness. Testimony. What your actions communicate to others. The key distinction here is Paul is addressing food and its relationship to idolatry, not are pigs biblically clean. Paul already set the standard of that in his own life. He did not eat unclean animals, and he didn't want others to eat. He was establishing the idea of the relationship to idolatry, which many non-Jewish believers struggled with prior to accepting Yeshua. He was trying to get them to break that. Now we look at the word whatever. Whatever doesn't mean everything on earth is food. If I tell children, eat whatever is in the refrigerator, that doesn't mean they can eat the plastic container, the aluminum foil, the bottles, and the shelves in the refrigerator. No, why? Because food is already a category. Likewise, Paul's audience had already had a biblical understanding of food. You see, it was a different subject. Even though these were non-Jewish believers, unlike the Jewish believers that had a better understanding of the food, don't automatically turn whatever food into everything Yahweh previously said wasn't food. It's now food. He didn't actually say that. I'm sure the local community and the Jewish believers, besides just Paul, were teaching people about Torah, about the scriptures, about the Bible, and about kosher food. Now, what about Romans 14? In Romans 14, verse 2, it says, one man has faith to eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Again, people say, see, eat anything. But look at Paul's contrast. It isn't clean animals versus unclean animals. It's one person eats, another eats only vegetables. The issues in Romans 14:3, don't let him who eats despise him who doesn't eat. Don't let him who doesn't eat judge him who eats. Again, eating versus abstaining from food. Romans 14:6, Paul again contrasts the one who eats with the one who doesn't eat. Now, a possible context is this is voluntary dietary restrictions or fasting appear to be involved here. It's important to mention whatever conclusion we reach, don't make Romans 14 say something that doesn't explicitly say pigs are now clean. Paul never said that. Nothing is unclean unto itself, it says in Romans 14. But here's something worth noticing. The Greek word used is kinos, meaning common or defiled. The normal biblical Greek term for something unclean is akathos. Important distinction. Paul appears to be discussing something regarded as common / defiled in the context of conscience. Don't automatically assume he's overturning Leviticus 11. That is the problem. People like to pick and choose to support what they believe. And it should be the other way around. We should have the solid evidence before we develop a belief system. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 3. Paul condemns those, commanding to abstain from foods which Yahweh created to be received with thanksgiving. And then in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4 to 5, for every creature of Yahweh is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified through the word of Yahweh and prayer. Notice, sanctified through the word of God. What scripture defined which animals were set apart for food? The Torah. The point, Paul is condemning people who prohibit foods Yahweh created as to be received. He doesn't necessarily say anything that moves is now food. So when we think about this, did Paul approve of idol worship? No. He says, flee from idolatry. Did Paul say believers could participate at the table of demons? No. He explicitly says they cannot. What was he addressing? What happens when ordinary food sold in a pagan marketplace may previously have been associated with pagan worship? That's it. That's very different from saying idolatry is okay. And it's very different from saying all unclean animals are now clean. So I hope you have a better understanding of this. Paul's desire was to proclaim Yahshua as Messiah. And in his life himself, by being Torah obedient, he was never telling people not to follow the Torah. He couldn't do that if he was a true follower of Yeshua. And I understand, like Peter said, it's hard to understand Paul's teachings at the time or his letters at the time. And I'm afraid the church today has really been the ones to make this an issue. And I wouldn't say Yeshua versus Paul. I'd say Paul and Yeshua versus the church in some instances. Now, let's look about the Sabbath. Another huge accusation, people say. Paul taught that every day is the same. Let's examine that. In Exodus 20, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath existed long before Paul and Yeshua observed the Sabbath. The question is, where does Paul clearly say the Sabbath commandment has been abolished? Show me that verse. It never said that. Matter of fact, in Colossians, probably the biggest one that people often point to, 2:16, let no one therefore judge you in eating or drinking or with respect to a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. So the common interpretation of this, it says, no one can tell Christians to keep Sabbath or feast days anymore. But this is what people don't get. And I'll never forget when my eyes were open to this. Who was Paul talking to here? And what was he saying? When he said, let no one judge you. You know, many churches teach that Paul was teaching the non-believers to say, let no one judge you. You don't have to keep these days. He was actually saying, let no one judge you for keeping these days. In addition to that, he was saying, let no one judge you. He never said, stop keeping these days. two completely different statements and completely twisted around of who that message was to. The message wasn't to the non-believers in Colossians 2:16. Let's look at that more closely. Let no one therefore let no one therefore judge you in eating and drinking or with respect to a feast day or new moon or Sabbath day. So, when the church teaches this to non-believers or non-Jewish believers, they're thinking, well, I don't need to follow these days. But Paul was talking to those who are already doing it. Let no one judge you for keeping it. Never did he say stop keeping them. Now let's read the context here in Colossians. In Colossians 2 verse 8, Paul warns about philosophy and vain deceit and traditions of men. And then later in Colossians 2 verses 20 to 22, Paul discusses the regulations such as don't handle, nor taste, nor touch, and calls precepts of doctrines of men. The question is, where is, if Paul is criticizing Yahweh's appointed time, what if he's warning believers not to let people to judge them according to their ideas and telling them, don't let people judge you for following the instructions and guidelines of the Torah? Now, what about Romans? Romans 14, verse 5 says, one man esteem one day more importantly, and other esteem another day alike. This is consistently used against the Sabbath. But notice, the word Sabbath doesn't appear in Romans 14. Neither does the biblical feast days. The surrounding discussion in context concerns eating, abstaining, and personal convictions. Why automatically assume Paul's abolishing the fourth commandment? We need to not make the verse say more than what it's saying. We are out of time for the finishing of this teaching. You can see the rest at our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening, and I'm very appreciative to be on this radio station, and it's sponsors like you that'll help. So if you can support us financially to remain in this radio station, that'll be a great help. You can go to our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries, and see all of the audios there in video form. And you could also donate through our website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministry. Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of Cross Life Church. Faith, family, and freedom. Three pillars worth cherishing, for they are not only the founding principles of our nation, but have their ultimate meaning in biblical Christianity. Cross Life Church is a home church, a household of faith where people are equipped in the Reformed faith, encouraged to love and serve their families, and engaged in the freedom of the gospel and being salt and light to a dying world. So join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service and Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. Let us live boldly in the hands of God, beloved. But remember, don't tell a lost world that Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too. For more information, call 772-341-8271.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.